All right, welcome back to the second edition of Sports Talk with Dumb Biased People, which is myself, Robert, and Corey here. So once again, if you haven't heard before, this is kind of just a fan's take on the perspective of everything going on in the sports world. And we give facts and we also give the opinionated fan side of things, things that maybe you or your friends or other people that you are around talk and drives you crazy, or you do it yourself. But that's the whole point of this podcast. And we'll have segments and we score it up. And at the end, we have a winner. Last week, Corey won. He secured the first ever win of the first ever segment or first ever podcast. So congrats to Corey.
Probably way too easy. But
not saying much because of his lack of hockey knowledge by Robert, but it's okay. All right. So first off, I want to say Happy New Year. We're wrapping up the year going into 2020. So couple things we just want to quickly wrap up is we want to give you guys our perspective on the most interesting thing that happened in 2020. So for me, with the whole COVID going on, no one had anything better to do. There was no reason for us to watch something like this, but the Tiger King to me was the most ridiculous thing of 2020 that I watched because of COVID and I had time and it was extremely entertaining. So that was for me. So for what about you, Robert? Do you have anything that you thought was interesting for 2020 that was non-sports related?
Yeah, same thing. Pretty much going to wrap up around COVID. So once this thing kicked off, everybody got scared and went out to whatever store they were close to and bought up all the toilet paper they possibly could and left everybody else stranded. So good luck to everybody without toilet paper during that time. I don't know how you did it, but yeah, that was pretty interesting how they pulled that off.
That's why you should never listen to the media, because they just blow things out of proportion most of the time. Anyways, Corey, what was your most interesting thing of 2020?
So this is kind of disturbing and pretty disgusting, but did you guys know that earlier in the year a male gave birth to an actual human?
No.
Yep.
No.
Pooped it out. Swear to God, pooped it out.
Is this a Chinese thing?
How did this happen?
I don't know, but so this guy, I guess he used to be a dude, changed into a girl, somehow got pregnant.
Wow.
Got a baby. Or other way around, girl to a boy. Pooped it out.
Wow. Impressive.
I didn't want to start the podcast off like that, but I couldn't really find anything else that was more interesting than that. So,
but it seems like you have to really dig for that.
It's been a crazy year.
Jeez. So, okay.
Just icing on the cake.
You can only
it's never too late. You guys can have more kids if you want.
God, you're the one with the four kids, and you owe us a ranking of your children in the future podcast. Anyways, what we're gonna do now is we're gonna recap podcast number one. If you listen, one of the things we talked about was the who we thought were contenders and pretenders. Quickly just summarizing that, Robert had the Titans and Packers, so obviously one of them had to lose because they played each other. So the Packers essentially dominated the Titans in Green Bay. Maybe it was weather based, maybe not. Aaron Rodgers did looked pretty well throwing the ball to Davante Adams whenever he wanted. So I think that kind of showed the defense's lack of defense. Maybe it was conditions, like I said, but Packers looked impressive in that game. And then Corey had his Rams and Bills there. So we'll get that in a second. But Robert, anything that stood out for you from that Titans Packers game?
Yeah. Like you said, I both had them both as contenders, and the Packers showed one, they should be a contender. And Tennessee proved opposite. But, yeah, it didn't really make sense. Weather, the factor they had with snow on the ground and everything, you would think that would benefit the Titans running the ball. And the Titans still have weapons on offense and couldn't get anything going while Green Bay could. So, yeah, no excuse for Tennessee. They just blew it right there. But someone had to lose out of my contenders, and Packers definitely showed why they are my contender.
Yeah, which is why if the Packers lock up that one seed, which they could possibly do this weekend if they win or Seattle loses, it's kind of scary to think about if all those NFC teams have to go there. Kind of not good for them, especially for those teams like the Rams out there who originally had struggles, not in bad conditions, not against good teams. But that was Corey's contender, and he held the Bills too, and the Bills looked impressive. Granted, against a now inferior Patriots team, but what are your thoughts on the Rams and Bills or Corey?
I mean, I think the Rams, again, we've done this podcast. Well, this is week two of the podcast. Ever since we started, the Rams have been not undefeated, but defeated, whatever the opposite of that is. So they look pretty bad. They made me look really, really stupid.
It's karma.
It's your karma. It's probably, yeah, it's my fault. But I mean, the Bills looked good. I kind of thought the Patriots might come out. You know, Bill Belichick, he doesn't want to go down like he's going down this year with no quarterback. But the Bills just, they dominated in every facet of the game. Stephon Diggs, 9 more receptions, 145 yards, 3 more touchdowns. Josh Allen just looked as good as advertised again. So I think they just solidified that spot as one of the top contenders in the AFC. Rams, I mean, I don't know if their playoff hopes ride on a dude who looks like he's 17. I don't know if you guys saw that, the picture of him they put on Facebook. The Rams had like a live feed. They're showing his talk. He just looks like a creep. But I don't know. We'll see. Our playoff hopes lie in the hands of a guy who played in the AAFL or whatever that league is called. But at this point, I think anybody's better than Jared Goff. So we'll see what happens. Not too happy about my NFC contender pick, but
yeah,
you know, you never know.
I think the hands of your team being in a Wake Forest quarterback product is terrifying. I know you're trying to spin it in a positive way. I think I saw what you wrote on Facebook with mobile quarterbacks and blah 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 blah. But we'll see. We're trying to convince.
I'm just trying to grasp. You know, yeah, I know. Hold on to any hope I can.
Yeah,
I tend to get like so attached to my quarterbacks and the Rams. For example, when we drafted Sam Bradford, I think about 2 years later, I bought 5 Sam Bradford jerseys for some reason. I had to have one in each uniform. I got my kids Sam Bradford jerseys, and we all know what happened with that. I do have a Jared Goff T-shirt that will be staying in my closet with the Todd Gurley one. But yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
Jeez. Well, at least your hopes lie in the hands, not really of the ability of your team to win, but the ability of the Packers to lock up the first seed. Because, of course, if they do that, the Rams are in anyway. So at least you have
to. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know.
And then the last thing to kind of look at was, of course, we did Pretenders also. And I want to kind of remind everyone, when we say Pretenders, we're not saying that they don't deserve to win. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs. We just think that there's something a little off in the team. We think they're a little too early, maybe, like the Dolphins was Robert's pick. And the Saints was Corey's pick, and you know, they both won, and they, I think they both impressed us in the ways they won. So with the Dolphins winning, what was your takeaway from that, Robert?
Yeah, so Pretenders, Miami Dolphins, just like I expected, should have lost to the Raiders, but Fitzmagic goes in there and pulls off a miracle once again. I don't know how he pulled that off on that last drive with his head facing towards the opposite end zone, making that pass. But pretty phenomenal. But that's the reason they're my pretender, because they had to take Tua out and put in Fitzmagic. And now this week, well, foreshadowing towards this coming week, Fitzpatrick isn't going to be available. He got marked down on the COVID reserve list. So this week it's all up to Tua, and they're playing in Buffalo where it's supposed to be snowing. So we're going to see if Tua can handle everything up north to see if – they are going to be a pretender, or if they could pull this off somehow.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Bills choose to play their full roster or not, because they have the second or third seed locked up, essentially. So I guess we'll have to see which Bills team actually shows up. But yeah, that should be a great game.
I didn't know Fitzmagic was out.
Damn fine reporting.
That's rough.
Yeah,
breaking news.
So much I pay
attention.
Yeah. He broke it on his Twitter feed. You guys need to follow him on Twitter. He broke that.
Hey, did you guys know that Fitzmagic started his career in L.A. with the Rams? Well, St. Louis.
Jesus. Anyways.
Full circle. We'll get him next year.
Okay. You need him. And then the pretender pick for Corey was the Saints. And, of course, they came out and they looked pretty good and they won their game. So, Corey, any thoughts on that?
I mean – they made me look pretty stupid. I mean, I think the Vikings head coach Zimmer said it best. I think he said, this is the worst defense I've ever had in my life or something like that. It was awful. I mean, Kamara had, what, 6 touchdowns?
Yep.
7? No, 6 touchdowns. 135 yards. He had more touchdowns in that game than Zeke has all year. So throw that out there.
Six to five.
They just – yeah, they – I mean, the Saints scored at will, pretty much. Minnesota had no answer. But, I mean, Minnesota's not that good this year, so we'll see if the Saints can keep it up.
It's funny that you mentioned the number of touchdowns. I think the other thing that was interesting was I think Josh Allen's 4 touchdowns in the game he had against the Patriots was twice as many passing touchdowns as Cam Newton has had all year.
What is he, 5? Newton has 5 or something, right?
Newton has 2 passing touchdowns. Oh, he has 5?
Yeah, he has 5.
All right.
I just guessed. I don't know. Scam Newton. My brother calls him Scam Newton. I thought that was 3.
Scam Newton. It's cute.
From his Auburn days.
Okay.
All right.
So now we're going to move into the recap for the week. So we're going to talk about quickly week 16 recap, things that I found interesting. The things that I found interesting was that you guys heard J.J. Watt's rant going off.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'd vote for him as president for sure.
Yeah. So definitely one of the greatest rants. And that's as a fan, you want to hear that from a player. That was amazing. And it sucks that his team does suck, but great rant. If you heard it, definitely check it out. Next thing I got was the what the hell are the Jets doing?
I called it. Thank you.
Yep. So I was a Jets fan. I don't know what's your mindset. It's you had the chance to get Trevor Lawrence, and then you threw it away, and you're trying to. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. I'd be mad at the Gates.
I can't. I don't think anybody can explain. It's so weird. Like
it is. In retrospect. The Jaguars are the smartest fan base in football. Every time the Bears scored a touchdown, they cheered, and the game was in Jacksonville. So good on them for being smart, unlike the Jets fans.
So they have that number one lockdown, right? Don't they?
Yeah.
Jags are locked in, so they could spoil the Colts game this week. The Jags won the first game keeping us Colts, lost next 14, and now play the Colts again in the last game of the season. So,
jeez,
that goes. Kamara. Ruined fantasy football championship hopes and dreams. He scored 6 touchdowns. I know one person that single-handedly lost because of him, costing them $300. It's unfortunate, but you know, it's crazy how it happens and when it happens. Next one, Fitzmagic, kind of like Robert said earlier, the greatest, probably greatest throw of all time. Owen Venture and say he saw the wide open receiver on the sideline about 40 yards down the field. Got the hand over his face, then his face mask got pulled to the, I think, left or whichever direction, and still committed to throw the ball and somehow completed that pass. So that's kind of one of the craziest things we've ever seen, which led to the Dolphins' game-winning field goal. So
if they win the Super Bowl this year, that's got to be their, like, Tyree moment, yeah?
Yeah, the Kevin Garnett moment where anything's
possible. Jesus.
Yep. The other thing that's crazy is the Dolphins' defenses went from the worst defense in football to a top 5 in almost every category defense by only adding, I think, 1 or 2 players, which is kind of crazy. So props to them, that coaching, what they're doing. The Falcons looked impressive as hell and then decided to lose somehow. So I don't know. That's probably what we're talking. One of the greatest time capsules of the past year. Dwayne Haskins in 2019, quarterback of the Washington Redskins. And I can say that back then they were the Washington Redskins in 2019.
Good call.
Beat Ron Rivera's Panthers, which led to him getting fired from the Panthers, then got hired by the Redskins at the time still. Starts Haskins against the Panthers, loses the game, and then he turns on fires and essentially removes Haskins from the team. It's one of the weirdest situations for 1 year between 2 people being connected.
Maybe that's full circle. Did I say
that's full circle.
Yeah,
that sounds.
Oh, okay, gotcha. But I was just saying because I'm predicting. Actually, we'll get into that, but it'll come full circle.
And the last thing I have is, can we start the clock on Carson Wentz being starting quarterback of the Eagles again? Because Jalen Hurts did not look that great. I'm just going to say that.
I'm going to go with that no.
A lot of money on that team, and Jalen Hurts doesn't make much, and that read option he was running didn't look very good. So
I just like the way he played against the Cowboys. So
yeah, well, you do because he didn't look that great, and they lost. So
Jesus.
Bold prediction, bold comment on that. Now we're gonna go to the last part of the segment. We're gonna talk about the surprises of the week. So what did you guys find surprising in the week? So Robert, you wanna lead us off? What was the most surprising thing of Week 16 NFL?
Yeah, so the biggest surprise was all the teams that could have clinched a playoff spot So you had the Titans, Colts, Browns, and Rams able to clinch a playoff spot, and the football team were eligible to clinch a playoff spot, and they all ended up losing. So now they're just making it a very interesting Week 17 where everything comes down to the wire. There's going to be a lot of games on it that are going to be very exciting. So that's definitely one of the biggest things where not one of those teams could have clinched.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for sports gambling also because it gives us another week. As you know, me and Robert here, we probably have an addiction problem, but we like to sports gamble, so we can look forward to like relevant Week 17 football. Because once again, once football is over, then we have to listen to us talk about basketball and NFL offseason and stuff like that. Christ. So, yeah, no one wants that. So we're gonna enjoy this moment while we can. But so, Robert, of those five teams losing, though, which one was the most surprising loss to you?
Yeah, definitely going to go with the Colts. Played a struggling Steelers team, and they were up 24-7 at one point. So you're thinking they got a really good defense. Their offense is completely capable of putting up points, so they're definitely going to hold on. And they go and blow that game. And now they're on the outside looking in where they actually need help to make it into the playoffs with multiple teams. Pretty much all the teams at 10 wins – one of those need to lose and they need to win. So they're really hoping for someone to lose and them. They should be able to win. They're playing the Jaguars. So really just hoping for a loss by one of them because they should be straight beating the Jags.
Hey, Corey, can we agree that it's completely ridiculous that he just said a 10-win team may not make the playoffs, but then we have the NFC East where they may be combining. I think they all combined for 10 wins, maybe something like that. I don't know what the numbers are, but
yeah, it kind of makes me sick and it's disgusting. It's
yeah,
it doesn't make any, it's yeah.
So,
I'm jealous.
Must be nice. Corey, what was your surprise of the week?
I'm gonna go with the Cardinals like laying an egg against your lowly 49ers.
Oh,
I mean, I think we all know that the Niners season ended. Was that what, week two or three against the Jets when they got all those injuries?
Yep. We didn't lose to the, we lost to FedEx, or was it FedEx? What was it? Whatever's out there in the New York Stadium where the Giants and Jets share it, but it's not FedEx. That's Washington. But yeah,
good call.
That field team helped them defeated us.
Yeah. I mean, you guys beat them though. But I mean,
you
guys took a loss just with Bosa went out that game. You guys lost pretty much everything. The Niners have played with all the injuries they've had, and I saw a stat a couple weeks ago of like the man days lost or whatever for all the injuries. It is insane. I'm pretty sure it's got to be like an NFL record how many days they've lost. But I mean, you lose to CJ Beathard when you're coming off two big wins, trying to get into the postseason. Second year with Cliff and Kyler Murray at the helm.
Yep.
They had some high hopes. I mean, they brought in Hopkins. To be honest, Arizona should have steamrolled the Niners that game. And it was kind of weird. That was like a home game, right? Who was home that game? Because they both showed us
we've been playing in Arizona the past 3 weeks.
Very
so
odd.
That's our home.
Maybe that's why we lost. Were you guys the away team there? Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, we were actually the away team playing there, even though we played their home last 2 weeks before that.
Interesting. But I mean, the Niners, they came out and 227 rushing yards. That's insane against a playoff team. It should be a playoff team, in my opinion. Even though they're in the NFC West, but that's gonna be my surprise of the week. A big letdown from the Cardinals for sure. And Murray got hurt last play of the game, right?
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. We got him last play.
Appreciate that. So he may that last playoff spot in NFC may be a battle between two backup quarterbacks. But last I heard is Murray's going to try to play.
Yeah, I did hear he was supposed to play.
Yep. So I do want to say is that the Niners coaching staff is the only reason why we're not garbage, keeping competitive. And with that being said, I want to ask you, Corey, because you're right, the Niners should have been steamrolled. I stacked actually Hopkins and Murray on a lot of DraftKings lineups, and that backfired on me, which is kind of confusing. Can you name two starters on the San Francisco or two people that played defense for the San Francisco 49ers this last week?
Oh, my God. Is Sherman still hurt? Is he out there?
He was out that game. He did
out?
Not play.
Jesus Christ.
He was out that game.
I'm going to go John Lynch.
Yep. John Lynch suited up. You're right.
Honestly, I can't name a single defensive player on the 49. That's pathetic. I feel like Wellborn. I feel like we're talking about hockey with Wellborn right now.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing.
No, I can't. That's a good. You got me on that one.
So that's why I get props to our D coordinator because, yeah, exactly, he patchworked that. He patchworked. We had, probably two good people. But anyways.
Your guys' defensive coordinator is he's got a lot of fire in him. I like that guy.
Yeah, wink. Yeah, so exactly. We're going to go with Robert's pick and Corey's pick. So I'm just going to say that from my perspective, I think Robert won this segment because I did actually not know until he said that way there was five teams that were winning in that failed and let us have a week 17 that was actually relevant. So I think for that reason, unless Corey, you can try to sway me, I'm gonna give that first round to Robert.
Nope, not gonna lie. He surprised me there. That was a good. I didn't realize all five teams had a chance to win loss. That's kind of crazy, but it makes for a very exciting week 17. So
100%. All right, good stuff. Now we're gonna roll into segment two. All right, we're gonna talk NFL offseason now. We're going to talk quarterback changes that we may see coming. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list out some of the quarterbacks that are available, possibly, depending on how free agency works out in the draft. And then I'm going to list a couple teams that may need to upgrade their quarterback. And it's kind of opinionated. Not all of them need to, probably, but some of them could. So it's one of those things where we're going to let these guys talk out what kind of quarterbacks that they think could change to different teams that they find most interesting. So some of the quarterbacks that are going to be available this offseason, potentially, we got Dak, if his ankle ever comes back. Pitt Rivers on the Colts, he needs to make money for his 18 kids. Exactly. We got Trubisky, who's looking much better lately, but as a Bears fan, I think you don't want to see that happen again. Fitzmagic, he sounds like he may be wrapping up, but I would love to see him do one more year where he's committed as starting quarterback. Cam, he'll be available. Kind of hard to see him going back to the Patriots. Famous Jameis Winston. I think he signed a 1 year, so we'll see what happens with him. Andy Dalton, Dwayne Haskins, Jacoby Brissett. A name I threw out here just for Corey, Sean Mannion.
Jesus.
Come back to the Rams once this Wolford thing. He's currently the backup in Minnesota, but his contract runs out. So reunion, maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
In the draft, we got some big names coming up. Lawrence is already locked in to go to the Jaguars. That's a done deal. If they don't do that, they should just quit the NFL. Then you have some of the other prospects. You got Fields, Zach Wilson, Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback, Mac Jones in Alabama, Trask in Florida, and a couple others. Of those quarterbacks, they're a little bit of a change. Originally, it was Lawrence and Fields were 1 and 2, but Fields is kind of dying off. And I think Zach Wilson just surpassed him recently on ESPN's recent prospect list. Zach Wilson, the quarterback at a BYU. So he may be the number two now. And with these quarterbacks, Fields is supposed to be was the number two, is dropping off. And I don't know, as an Ohio State quarterback, can you trust any Ohio State quarterback? Do you guys know any successful Ohio State quarterback in the NFL that you guys can think of?
Nope.
So that is correct. The past couple of years, the ones that were drafted were Cardale Jones in the fourth round, Braxton Miller in the third round, Terrell Pryor,
yeah, the wide receiver.
In the supplemental draft, I believe, is where he went. Then you got Troy Smith, fifth rounder, all the way back in 2007. So, Justin Fields is supposed to be the next line. Is he going to break that trend? I don't know, but I would be kind of wary as a fan, a Niners fan that may want a quarterback. God, I don't want anything to do with Ohio State quarterbacks. So some of the teams that need a quarterback, though, we've got the Niners fan, Jimmy G. We'll see what happens with that situation. I've read a lot about that, and they're kind of going both ways. Bears, talking to a couple Bears fans recently, they're ready to move on and start fresh. The Redskins, need to – I'm sorry.
Can you just bleep that out?
Yeah, well, I'll get that on the retake. The WFTs, almost like WTS. So they need a new quarterback, probably this week, honestly, because their playoff hopes are in the hands of Tyler Hinkie. So that is ridiculous.
I think Smith's going to start, no?
He's possible to start.
He's possible. Yep. He didn't practice on Wednesday, so they're going to, you know, if he can, they're going to let him play, obviously.
Yeah.
Broncos and the Patriots. Now, there's a couple other teams. You know, you got, like, the Colts and the Bucks, maybe the Saints. With some of the veteran quarterbacks are leaving soon, but we're not really going to worry about them right now because who knows what's going to happen in those situations. But if I turn it to you guys over, like, what do you guys see as a team that needs a quarterback? And, you know, what's a good situation? What would you like to see with one of these possible free agent quarterbacks or draft quarterbacks going to some of these teams? So, Robert, do you have any teams that you would like to see be matched up with one of these quarterbacks available?
Yeah, I don't know if I would like to see it, but I don't think their quarterback situation is ideal. So I think they might reach out to the free agent market and pick up someone.
He's talking about the Cowboys.
Draft.
Stop it. No, sorry. They have the Red Rocket. He's going to be there for a while. A couple
Super Bowls. I mean, he said exactly, didn't he? Anyways.
No, we're moving on. We're moving on to the Washington football team with Dwayne Haskins and Alex Smith at the helm right now. But I don't think they're going to hang on to Alex Smith as a start. And obviously, they already got rid of Dwayne Haskins, as you mentioned earlier. But I got a couple stats out here to show where they sit right now. With both of them having played 7 games, Dwayne Haskins sits at like 1,400 yards, 1,439 to be exact, with 5 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And then Alex Smith, yeah, pretty solid. So Alex Smith is right there with them at 1,420 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. So they're ranked the 35th and 36th quarterback in the NFL right now. So that's pretty solid being outside the 32.
Great.
So with that, I don't see them really sticking with them long-term. Alex Smith, everybody knows about his long injury rehab, but I don't think with that long off time that he's going to be able to stay healthy, continuing on, given the age and everything. And with Dwayne Haskins gone, there's a missing piece. So you mentioned a couple free agents, and down in New Orleans, who knows what Breeze is going to do. They got their backup in Taysom Hill, and also their third string, Jameis Winston. So with Jameis Winston being a free agent, I could see them reaching out to him based off of their quarterbacks don't get it down the field very well. They're really dink and dunk. And Jameis Winston's not afraid to throw the ball. Yeah, you might get 30 interceptions, but he's going to be throwing that ball for 5,000 yards with Terry McLaurin out there. So I think Jameis Winston would be a decent fit for them, at least. I don't think he'd be a great fit. But outside of the people in the draft, if you don't get one of the top ones, you're really risking it. And their previous first-rounders, they don't have a good history of that. So I think with that, I think they'll look at Jameis Winston, be able to get the ball downfield, maybe go with him going forward.
Yeah, I think they definitely do need to get at least some kind of quarterback, like a veteran presence, if they're also going to draft. Because like you said, they're not going to draft the top 10. So that means they're going to lose out on, you know, the top 2, at least the top 3 quarterbacks. And after that, it's kind of risky. Teams are going to try to trade up and get someone that probably they shouldn't try to trade up for. So yeah, that's a good take. Do you guys actually know the type of recovery Alex Smith had to go through? Like, do you know what they did with his calf? Have you guys heard about this?
No, I don't know exactly what they did.
No, I just know the, like, 20-something surgeries.
Yeah. On top of that, they took 50% of his calf and they put it on the front part of his, I believe, his shin to kind of cover up a bunch of the areas. So the injury he had was a calf strain a couple weeks ago. So, you know, if he's having that on the same area where they took a bunch of calf muscle out, what's it really going to be like for him in the next couple of years if he really is able to play? So, yeah, they're probably definitely the quarterback. All right. So, yeah, that's good. Is there anything else, Robert, any other teams that you would want to kind of spin up on besides Washington, or is that it?
Yeah, I got Washington for the NFC, and then for the AFC, I got the Patriots. You mentioned a little bit about Cam Newton and his statistics. Pretty awful. With 5 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. He does do a lot of rushing, as everybody knows, so he has 12 rushing touchdowns. But he's still ranked the 26th quarterback in the league. On a 1-year deal, So you got to think, is Bill Belichick really happy with the performance that he's getting out of Cam?
Do you see him throw that phone?
Yeah, that was pretty solid. That was the best throw from the Patriots this year. So
too easy.
So yeah, with once again, I don't know exactly where they're going to fall in the draft with what quarterbacks are going to be available. So with the information we have now, a free agent I would go with is Fitzpatrick. And he hasn't done absolutely phenomenal this year, but he's only played 9 games. But anytime Fitzpatrick goes to a new team or comes off the bench, you know for sure you're getting a solid couple games out of him right away. But also, it would just be awesome to see him play in the entire AFC East. That's really the reason I like Fitzpatrick going there. They're going to need a quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback to have. And why not go somewhere you haven't played and finish out a division?
I would love to see him go after the Bills, and because there's got to be a want to take the Bills down. That'd be great to watch. On top of the Cam Newton stuff you threw out, I want to throw out that the backup quarterback, Jared Stidham, has 2 passing touchdowns, which is almost as many as Cam's 5 you mentioned. But he has it on 44 attempts compared to Cam Newton's 338. So 2 touchdowns in 22 or 44 attempts, I'm sorry, compared to Cam's 5 touchdowns in 338 attempts. So
it's
kind of...
That's a pretty good percentage of touchdowns with the completions.
Yeah, you're right. So, good take. All right, Corey, what about you? Which team would you like to see with a new quarterback?
So I'm just going to go with one team. Well, I mean, obviously, I think the Rams need a new quarterback, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to go with AFC, and this... I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos. It's kind of a place I'm familiar with. I don't think it's a mention on the podcast, but I played professional sports at Denver a long time ago. So kind of have a close Denver is close to my heart. But, I mean, you got Drew Locke out there for a couple of reasons. I want him gone. The first reason is I was in a fantasy football draft, and the draft was at, like, midnight because I was overseas, and I woke up with Drew Locke as my quarterback. And he's screwed me over since day one.
I can confirm this. I saw it.
Yeah, it's insane. I didn't know he was a quarterback until I woke up. He was on my team, but anyways, he's had a pretty awful year. The Broncos as a whole have been awful at drafting quarterbacks. I mean, since 98, since they had John Elway retire, they've had 23 starting quarterbacks, and that's with 3 years of Plummer, 2 years of Jay Cutler, and 4 of Peyton Manning. So they just had a revolving door of
Jake this
pretty thing. Awful. Yeah, pretty awful quarterbacks. I mean, to get more into it, the only teams with less passing yards than the Broncos are the Giants, the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Jets. And the only teams with less points are the Jaguars, the Jets, and the Giants. So obviously, Drew Lock's not getting it done. He probably doesn't have the best arsenal out there. I know he's got Judy out there, who's a rookie this year, who's been doing decent. But I mean, eventually you got to put some points on the board. Elway seems to still have confidence in him. He did say last week that Drew's had an up and down year, but we still like what we see and still think that he's got a chance to be a very good quarterback in this league. I don't know if he's just blowing smoke up everybody's ass, but quarterbacks in the NFL obviously have a very short shelf life. You kind of got to win now or get out. He came in last year. He went 4-1 last year and in 5 games, but this year he's been pretty bad. So 17 games, 14 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. I think it's time to move on. Maybe he just might be better suited as a backup quarterback in this league. But I don't know. I think that'd be interesting to see. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they should just get a stopgap guy. Fitzmagic, Phillip Rivers, somebody just to fill a gap until they find the right quarterback. But they will be drafting pretty low, so you never know. They could swipe in and get Trask guy in Florida.
Yep,
I live in Florida now, so I've been I've watched the last couple of Florida games, and he looks pretty good. I don't think he's going to go top 1 or 2, so they may be able to get him. But I don't know. I think that's the team out in the AFC that probably needs a change of quarterback to be competitive. And then again, they're in the AFC West, which is rough. They could just take the next 15 years off and suck because they got to play Mahomes every year. But if they want any chance of competing, they gotta do something in quarterback position.
I think something that you said was interesting was the John Elway having confidence in his quarterback. It's kind of infuriating as a fan that we can't like get the real answers. They're going to say save faith with everyone. Yeah. So even like the Niners and Jimmy G, he's our quarterback next year, but we all know they're going to evaluate everything and it's 50-50 chance.
For
so,
sure, yeah.
All right. So those are probably some of the best stats Corey's ever thrown out. He probably the rest of his podcasting career. So I want to compliment
him. I had overload this week for my lack of stats every other time we do an episode. So.
That's true. The lack of being able to name backup quarterbacks last week compared to this week is
James far Winston, phenomenal. James Winston and James Winston. Yeah, we're just gonna go with that. Take some help.
There it is.
All right, I think you just solidified that you're not going to win this round now because you're just going to recover from that. So I'm going to give that round to Robert because of that. And we'll ask you next week also, see if you finally.
I'm just going to buy a poster. I'm going to buy their posters to my house so I can't forget anymore.
It's going to be really confusing to people walking in your house. It's not even Drew Brees. I know one.
True, yeah.
It's not anyone good. But okay, so we're going to give this round to Robert again. That gives him, I think, a 2-0 lead.
That's correct.
But as we know, we still have a question segment coming out, which a lot of people liked. And if there's any hockey questions in there, Robert is probably screwed. So he needs to build that early lead. All right. So now we're going to move on to segment 3, which is not football talk. So buckle up and get the facts ready from Robert here. But we're going to talk about NBA stuff. So we're about 1 week into the season. And the first question is, are you guys excited about the start of the NBA season?
Hey, why don't you just shoot me a text when you guys are done with this segment, and I'll come back.
All right. I think that summarizes Corey's point.
I'll take the point for this.
Yeah. All right, Robert, how about you? How do you feel about the start of the NBA season?
Yeah, pretty phenomenal, actually. I don't know if y'all saw it the other day, but the Dallas Mavericks played the Phoenix Suns, and at halftime, they were winning 77-27, so it was a great start. And then they ended up winning the game by 40 points still. So, continued on the second half and then let up. So, right now I'm pretty pumped about the season.
You say who did they beat by that mark?
The Phoenix Suns.
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure the Phoenix Mercury are better than the Phoenix Suns. Like, come on.
Are you sure it was actually the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, yeah. Please tell me it wasn't. Please tell me it was like. Not the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, just anybody but the Phoenix Suns? I'm pretty sure it's the Phoenix Suns.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead and look that up.
He was actually – Robert was actually texting me during one of the Mavericks games, shooting me out all these stats. I was kind of proud of him, but I don't care.
But, yeah. So the reason why I was saying that is because it wasn't the Phoenix Suns. They actually lost to the Phoenix Suns. So they beat the Clippers 124-73.
Shit, well, that's us.
Jesus
Christ. Yep, give you a chance. Anyways, so with Corey's lack of interest in the NBA start and Robert's lack of
knowledge
facts for the NBA start, if you guys could make the NBA more interesting so you guys could pull out the right facts and say something better than what Corey just said, what would you do to fix the NBA? And for me, for example, the thing that infuriates me the most with the NBA is the whole Supermax contract situation, how they can essentially bring in two Supermax free agents and control the NBA scene. I think Corey said this last week was the NBA is really only down to 4 or 5 relevant teams. So what's the point of watching the regular season when it's like that? And on top of that, they have something called the Bird Rights, which do you know who that's named after, Robert?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Larry Bird.
Okay, you got that one right. I'll give you that one. I don't know what else to say, but I'm proud that you said that. Okay, so the Bird Rights essentially allows you to keep a player that's been playing for your team that you either drafted or been on your team for 3 years, and you can actually negotiate a contract with them. So kind of like what Golden State did where they brought Durant in and they kind of maxed out the money on Thompson and Green and Curry. That's kind of essentially what teams can do. So you have, a couple competitive teams and the rest of the teams are just not there. So for me, that's what I would love to change for the NBA to care, because right now, the only reason I'm caring about the NBA is DraftKings because I have gambling problems. So I'm not going to care until probably round 2 of the NBA playoffs, because 1 against 8 seed matchups are not interesting at all. So if you guys could change something about the NBA season, what would it be? Robert, do you want to lead us off on that?
Yeah, so to change, like I mentioned before, like I'm pretty happy with how the NBA is. It's not too long of a season like baseball, and it's not too short. So you get plenty of games still, even in the regular season, and you got obviously the playoffs. But to your point and Corey's point mainly about nothing being interesting because it's only so many teams that win, you know who's going to win. Well, do you know who's in the NBA Finals last year, Corey?
Yeah, the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously.
Yeah, and to start the season, do you know what the odds were for the Heat to make it to the finals?
Oh, I don't know the odds. I know they were.
They can't be good.
If you bet on them to make it to the finals, you probably made out a ton of money.
I'm going to guess 80 to 1 is my guess.
Pretty close, pretty close. So I'm going to go 90 to 1. No, you're wrong, too. But it was 60 to 1. Odds. $5. Yeah, so they were the first team since the 2002 New Jersey Nets to make it to the finals with that amount of odds or worse. So it's not like every single year you know a team's going to make it. There's always that chance, just like with any sport. But just wanted to bring that fun fact up.
That was another Kevin Garnett moment he just had right there.
Yeah, we're going to press for you.
Corey, would you like to counterpoint? Because you have to say something because you're down 2-0 on the segments.
I think the only thing to make the NBA interesting again would be to bring Kobe back.
Oh my. I don't think. What do you say to
Muster
that?
Why you're laughing.
Well, we can't do that. Sorry.
Okay, well, then I guess NBA won't be interesting to me. So next topic.
Okay. Are you conceding the segment to go down 3-0 so you have no chance to win? Happened?
So if you're going to – off the top of my head, I'll go with they got to take care of the flopping issue. It seems like they reward players who flop. Every freaking play, somebody flails their hand back. It's a foul. It makes the game so boring. It just drags it along. I remember growing up watching the Lakers back in like the early 2000s when they would go to the –
Big fan, XL Eddie Jones.
Oh, stop it. They meet up with the Sacramento Kings almost every single playoff series. Ooh. And those were some like rough, tough.
Yep.
I mean, you had Derek Fisher out there. He probably started the whole flopping thing. So I don't know why I'm complaining about it because it got us a couple championships. But it's gotten so bad. Like it's a snooze fest. Like the dudes love each other on the different teams. And it's like they need to hate each other again. And there's no hate.
Yeah, just like back. The documentary with Jordan that came out this year, like that was watching that old school basketball, like watching that, like it hurts to watch modern day basketball.
You can't
nowadays.
Watch it. Yeah.
Like it's hard to,
I mean,
appreciate.
try watching the NBA playoffs and then the NHL playoffs. Cause they're on at the same time, put them on two TVs next to each other. It's night and day. It's just, it's bad.
100% right. You got dudes that, 14th got knocked out and they're just going right back in a few minutes later. So I'm gonna push on this one because Robert, I am impressed with some of the things you threw out. I did not know some of those things, but the way you started the segment, if you didn't start it that way, you would have won that segment. Yeah. I will say I was impressed though. Those stats were phenomenal. So I did not see that coming from you.
They're decent at best, but
so, all right. So we're gonna skip into hand in hand segment 4. Before that, we're gonna have to do this thing where you guys need to listen to this thing really quickly for 30 seconds, and then we'll get into segment 4. So, thank you. That was a phenomenal commercial right there. So, thanks for listening to that, guys. And we're gonna start segment 4 right now. And what we are gonna do now is what. Kind of our listeners that gave us some feedback said this is their favorite segment they enjoyed. So we're going to bring back the 5 questions and see if we can hopefully do better than last week. We can't get worse. So I created 5 new questions, a little bit different than last time. A couple of these, someone has to win because we're going to be going back and forth and you guys will be answering until someone gets one wrong on question number 1. The rest will be kind of more normal. So I want to start segment 4 with the first question, tying into me appreciating Jaguars fans for being smart. And they should have, hopefully, their franchise quarterback locked up for a long time, so you don't have to talk about quarterbacks in Jacksonville for the next 10 years. So with that said, what we are going to do, Corey and Robert, I will let Robert go first because we want him to win a segment to get off the losing streak. You guys are going to take turns naming starting quarterbacks for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Going back.
Oh, I already know. I already have one. I already know.
Back and forth until someone cannot name one. So, Robert, you can start us off.
Oh, perfect. So, I'm going to start off with Gardner Minshew.
So, safe. Then, no, wait, yep. Wait. We're going back and forth. So, you name Minshew. Now, Corey gets to name one.
Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell. All right. Now, back to Robert. Name one.
Oh, definitely should have won Mark Brunell.
I was going to say it for last, but you took Minshew. Like,
oh, yeah. That was perfect. All right. What's the countdown on this thing?
Right now, you have to name something.
All right. Well,
you cannot name a Jags quarterback?
Yeah, you put me on the spot. Now my mind's all over the place. Oh.
So if I name one more, do I win?
Yeah, that's all you got to do is name one more.
Are you winning already? I think that's a yes.
Is he giving me a chance?
I'm going to say you have
five. That was a long break, man.
Corey?
I mean, their current quarterback, Mike Glennon.
Oh. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Can you name any more just out of curiosity?
Oh, my God. Doug Marrone?
You named the coach?
I just thought maybe he may have played quarterback for him in the past. Nope. God damn it. No, I mean, it doesn't matter. I won.
I'm gonna anymore. That's the mindset of a champion right there. So David Garrard.
Don't bend the rules.
David Garrard, you're going to be mad at some of these. You're going to be mad at some of these. David Garrard. Blake Bortles.
Oh, yeah, obviously. The boat, yeah.
You can't say obviously now. Byron Leftwich. Byron Leftwich. Blaine
Gabbert. That's who I was trying to think.
Blaine Gabbert. Jesus Christ.
Nick Foles. Come on, you guys.
Yeah, BDN. Yeah.
Nick Foles. Chad Henne, the pride of Michigan, the best quarterback there, not Tom Brady. Couple other veterans, maybe. You got McCown, Rob Johnson, one of the Kesslers that were there. All the way back to Jay Fiedler, Steve Berline. What about some vintage names right there? Oh, all right, so that's segment one. So that one goes to Corey.
Easy peasy.
All right. Oh, man. So I'm going to ask you guys separate questions on number two. So you guys can both get a point on this one. For Corey, I'm going to ask you first. Who is currently in the college football playoffs?
Oh, I'm a huge diehard college football fan. You got Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Okay. Good.
Was that right?
Yeah, you're right. And we know you're not a diehard college football fan.
I don't watch college football.
Robert, here's your question. This is going to make or break probably you for the rest of these.
Yeah. Probably.
How many minutes is a double minor penalty in hockey?
A double minor penalty is 2 minutes.
Corey, how you want to correct him?
I don't want to correct him. Shouldn't have to. He's been playing NHL 21. Oh, should know.
And for the people listening, yeah, he has been nonstop texting us about playing as the Dallas Stars on NHL 21. A double minor is two separate penalties totaling 4 minutes.
Oh, the double, that makes sense.
Right. So we have a strong 2-0 lead for Corey on segment number four, and we have three questions left. So Robert, going to ask you this question first to give you a chance. I'm going to ask you both of you guys this question. All right, so we got the honor system on this one. Who is currently leading the NFL in receiving yards this season? So I'll let you guys think really quickly, and then I'll let you guys both blurt out your answer at the same time in 3, 2, 1.
Stephon Diggs.
It's not. I don't think it is. I think he's like.
It is Stephon Diggs. Was that your real answer, or did you copy him?
No, that was my – Stephon Diggs is my answer. I was going to go with – I didn't know he was up at – I know he – obviously, with my stat from last week, he was number one in receptions, but I didn't know he was also leading in yards, too.
Yep.
That's clutch. Clutch. Yep. That's a very clutch trade by the Bills last year.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people question that.
That's a clutch. First one.
All right. So question number four. So you guys are going to give me the answer. I'm going to give you three players' names. You're going to tell me who has the most interceptions out of these three people. And the answer could be more than one person. J.J. Watt, Jamal Adams, and Mike Williams. Who has the most interceptions between them this season?
Do you want one of us to go first? Or
is someone ready to answer?
Yeah. Nope.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I'm going to go with J.J. Watt and Mike Williams.
Okay, and then, Corey, what is your answer? Or did you not have one because you're stumped?
I'm just going to go with Mike Williams, number one.
The correct answer is J.J. Watt and Mike Williams both have one interception this year.
Oh.
And the overhyped Jamal Adams has zero. And I saw him drop one last week. He's really great at rushing the passer, which is an edge rusher, not a safety. Anyways, that's a whole separate conversation.
Let's go.
Fake, I don't like that question.
You said you didn't like the question because you got it wrong? Is that what?
I didn't like that question.
Okay, well, yeah.
I prefer this question.
I'm crapping on in fake bird player, so I'm going to ask that question and enjoy it. So thank you. All right, the number five question and the last question. So currently we have Corey has three rights and Robert has two rights. So this can make or break everything.
Is this the fourth or fifth?
This is the fifth question.
Okay.
So which NBA players... And we're going to do the same thing where you guys go back and forth naming people. All right. So we're going to let Robert go first on this one again. Name the NBA players in the original movie Space Jam.
Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah. So I'll go first. I'll go with Michael Jordan.
Yep. That's a safe bet.
I'm going to go Larry Bird.
Ooh. Does he have a cameo in that?
Yeah, he's in it.
We'll look that up, Ether.
Okay, we'll look it up.
Yeah, I'll go with Charles Barkley.
Ooh, that is correct. Charles Barkley is one of the five players that loses their powers.
Magic Johnson. I didn't see the movie, so I'll just take the L on this one.
You did see the movie. Stop it.
No, I really didn't.
The reason why I love bringing this question up, not only because Space Jam is a great movie, is because I am giving Corey so much crap because he claims he watches only sports movies, but he hasn't watched well of sports movies.
There's a lot of good ones out there. A lot of the classics I haven't watched, but I watched the important ones like Mighty Ducks and Miracle.
Yep. So Larry Bird does play a minor role in Space Jam movie, but he's not one of the main characters. But even if we let him have that, Charles Barkley was correct. Robert, can you name any of the other characters in that movie? Barkley's ready to win, so it's fine. But
yeah, Robinson.
Nope.
What's his name?
Muggsy Bogues.
Oh.
Patrick Ewing, Larry Johnson, and Sean Bradley were the five characters that lost their powers to the alien team that Michael Jordan played against. So,
movie sounds so boring.
That tie, though.
Ridiculous. So we have a second push because we both have both you guys with three. So that gives us a record of you won the first, Robert won the first segment. You won the second segment, and then you guys tied on the next two. So it's pretty much already over. Robert already secured the win.
Let's go, dude.
But for the sake of talking a little bit more, though, we're going to go into segment five and talk NFL playoffs, and we're going to recap the picks from last week and make some picks for this next week coming up. So on last week's segment, we ended up by letting you guys know what our thoughts were on a lock of the week and then upset of the week. And for the lock of the week, Corey went out on a limb to purposely talk crap to Robert by picking the Eagles as his lock of the week. And that backfired by a lot, I think by 20 points.
I mean, when two trash teams play each other, like, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So,
Rams and Jets.
Yeah, exactly.
Robert's lock of the week was the Chiefs. And that was kind of a debatable one, but I guess we'll let you
roll that tough one. Yeah. Tough lock of the week.
I guess the win's a win on that, I guess. Anyways, the upsets, though, what I will say with the upsets is that Corey picked the Jets, and I think he picked that before the whole wide receiver core was even ruled out, so we can't really.
I did, thank you. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
so the Jets held on to win that game. Good for Corey, bad for everything Jets and Jets fans. Makes no sense. And then Robert had the Titans as the upset, and that completely backfired as they got steamrolled by the Packers in Green Bay. Do you guys have any insight on or your take on your picks, and you want to make a defense on why you did that?
Yeah, I'll go first. I will just the Chiefs, obvious, but I just want to let everybody know, the betting people out there that went back and looked at it. And the past 6 weeks, the Chiefs have yet to cover it on the spread. So if you're looking at betting in the future, I don't know if I'd go down that route. So just a little fun fact. And then the Titans, yeah, I talked about it earlier, but they got rolled. But they'll be good come playoff time. They'll win this week, get in the playoffs, and then keep on pushing.
Hey, Corey, you want to gloat on your Jets pick, or you just want to move on?
I mean, yeah, it was just a brilliant pick. I mean, nobody else is picking them to win. Obviously, once the news dropped that the Browns were going to miss every wide receiver, I mean, it's still, the Browns still should have won. I mean, they should have won that game. They were supposed to be a playoff team. I think they get knocked out this week, but it was still surprising. I mean, they're the Jets. Like, that's what else do you have to say? But they came out and they beat them up. My lock of the week was, like you said, it's more of a dig on how crappy the NFC East is and two crappy teams playing each other. You never know. They're both losers. Like, they both lost pretty much, so it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I went out on a limb because I like a challenge, you know. I'm like, Robert over there picked the freaking best team in the NFL history, so.
All right, and I'll take credit on this one since I actually went to know. I had the Bears winning, and they dominated. And I had the Falcons covering the spread, and they – really should have tied that game at the end of the game with that missed field goal, which was an easy chip shot pretty much for that kicker, best kicker in football, brother from another mother. But so what we're going to do now is we're going to talk the current playoff picture. So why should we watch week 17? Well, because we have a bunch of teams that need to win to get in, essentially. The NFC East, we have the WFTs against them boys. Pretty much if Washington wins that game, they're in.
Toilet bowl.
Some may call that. And the
real quick.
Yep, go ahead.
Washington football team will be playing the Eagles.
Oh, you're right. So
good correction. Stat check. Jesus.
So they got to beat the Eagles, and then the boys are playing the Giants.
My good lord.
So that's pretty much the summary of the NFC East. We're gonna ignore that one. Robert,
they're gonna tie. They're gonna tie 8-8. 4 safeties apiece. So bad.
So if we tie and the Washington football team loses, we still make the playoffs. Let's go.
I hope for the sake of everybody's enjoyment on this podcast that the Cowboys do make the playoffs.
Yep.
I hope they do. I'll be rooting for them.
And yep. And I hope they get trashed round one.
No, I hope they make it. I hope they make it to the NFC Championship game and then just get. I hope they lose a heartbreaker in the NFC Championship game. That's what. Ooh,
that
just
would
like be a brutal like. A Zerline double doink, like what the Bears usually do, a double doink or something. That would make me the happiest.
That would be kind of funny. I guess that'd give us good talk material, and we may not. We'll see if Robert shows up to work or not. But toast you for your thoughts. But we'll move on to this. So the NFC East, or not NFC East, the rest of the NFC, we pretty much have three teams in two spots. The Bears are 8-7. They play the Packers, and the Packers want to win. If the Packers win, they clinch the number one seed in the only bye on the NFC side. The Cards play the Rams, so the 9-6. The 9-6 Rams play against the 8-7 Cards, and we already talked about the Rams don't have their quarterback. They got some creep playing, and then the Cards have Murray, who's playing hurt. So, Those are three spots. So if you guys had to pick a team to not make it to the playoffs, who would you guys pick on the NFC side?
Rob, you want to go since...
Yeah, I'll go first. We talked about a couple teams that couldn't make it in, and I'll just keep it simple. I'm going to go with the Rams not making it into playoffs with the loss of the Cardinals. Yeah, they're going to be playing with Wolford, I believe it is, without Cooper Kupp, and they're going to be relying on Malcolm Brown to carry the rock because Akers probably isn't going to be 100%. And you got Robert Woods out there who's going to be covered by Patrick Peterson. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to handle the Cardinals, even with Kyler a little banged up and Hopkins. Hopkins always plays hurt. I think the Cardinals will be able to pull it out pretty easily.
Okay. So you're saying the – okay. Is that for that to happen, that also means that the Bears have to lose or
– win.
Yeah, the Bears have to win against the Packers. So I guess we'll see how that works.
Yeah, that's a possibility. The Bears are on a four-game streak of scoring over 30 points. So
against bad defenses, but it's true. Maybe it builds confidence, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting
for all the Bear fan out there. Hopefully they have hope. Yeah. Corey, who would you pick on the NFC side to not make it?
So I'm gonna go with Arizona. I think somehow the Bears are gonna actually win at home against the Packers.
That's two.
I don't know why I think that. They're probably gonna get smoked, but I mean that's the easy pick. So I'm gonna go with the upset. I think Chicago will get in somehow. I don't know how, but I think they'll win. And then I mean, as bad as the Rams are playing right now, I think this is an upgrade in quarterback play. Their defense is just too good. Kyler Murray's hurt. He's not gonna do anything. I mean, Aaron Donald's probably gonna end his career. So I think we barely beat the Cardinals, then we'll get in and Bears will be in, and then the Cardinals will be out.
So 8-6 game. So, well,
safety. Yeah, it might be 3-3-0, but.
All right, and then for me, I'm going to pick the Bears to not make it. Sorry for the one Bear fan that listens to this podcast, but I'm picking them to not make it. Sorry. That's just, to me, I feel like the Packers would want to secure home field and do anything they can to make that. And I don't know if they would feel okay with another rival of theirs making it in when they know they can stop them. So that's just my... All right, so then we're going to go to the AFC side. So the AFC side is a little more interesting, I think. We have five teams. Four of them control their own destiny. So Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Tennessee. If they all win their games, they are in the playoffs. And the team on the outside, like I think Robert said earlier, was the Colts. They're on the outside looking in. So if the Colts want to make it, they have to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, who that's the one win for the Jaguars is against Colts week one. So the Colts have to beat Jacksonville, and they need one of the other teams to lose for them to get in. Now, there's a bunch of other scenarios that can play out, but there's way too much to explain. We're not going to get into that. But that's a simple way to kind of explain the four teams winning in, or the Colts win, and when the four teams lose, and the Colts are in. So for you guys, Robert, if you want to lead us off, who do you think on the AFC side is not going to make it in?
Yeah, I'll keep it simple once again, and I don't think the Colts are going to make it in. They had their chance last week, and they blew it, and now I think it's going to be opposite of last week as well, where all the teams that could have won and made it in didn't. I think this week all the teams that have that chance are going to win, and the Colts are going to be left out.
Bold. That's a bold statement.
Bold statement. I mean, there's a couple teams that have some difficult matchups potentially, but yeah, I mean, that's very possible. Corey, who would you want to take on the AFC side to not make it?
I'm going to go to the Browns. I mean, they're orange, but they're called the Browns. Makes no sense. I think they're going to lose to Pittsburgh. I mean, they started off hot. Everybody's talking about the Browns. Oh, the Browns can make the playoffs finally, blah, 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 blah. Then they lose to the Jets. So
even with Mason Rudolph at quarterback for the Steelers?
I think Rudolph, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to come out and show his anger, yeah, against Garrett. No, I think Pittsburgh finds a way to win. I think the Browns are out. I think they're going to pull the Browns.
All right. And then I'm going to pick mine strictly off of matchups. I'm going to pick the Dolphins and not make it. I just think if the Bills actually try, I think that's just a hard matchup for them, especially kind of like when you guys said Fitzmagic's not there to save Tua if things don't go the way Brian Flores wants it to go early on. You're not going to have that gunslinger there to bail him out like he did last couple games. So that's my pick, is the Finns aren't going to make it in. All right. So that wraps up everything with the segments. I want to say congrats to Robert on winning your first ever segment, and especially before football season ends. You need to pile those wins up, because who knows how this NFL season is going to go for you. But, yeah, any closing last remarks you guys got? Robert, if you want to go first?
Yeah. Good talking once again. Always fun to talk sports and beat Corey, which normally happens, so not much doesn't surprise happen there. Yeah, y'all see more of that to come. But, yeah, looking forward to Week 17 of football with all these games with playoff implications. So it'll be fun. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Definitely. Corey?
No, same. I'll piggyback off that. We'll give them a win this week, but, I mean, we all know the W is going to pile up once baseball and hockey starts. So it's going to be a long off season for Robert over there collecting the L's. So not looking forward to it. The IAHF is still going on. U.S. has got a big game tonight. That'll be fun to watch. Watch our Kings prospects.
It's true.
Get some more goals.
All right. So good job, guys. I want to say thank you to everyone for listening and people that gave us feedback. We appreciate it. And hopefully you guys keep listening. And we'll see you guys next week with episode 3. So happy new year. Have a good one, guys.